This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. You're listening to Inside Story with Lee Chwee Lin and Shamla Ganesan. Tonight, the MACC investigation of Court of Appeals Judge Dato' Muhammad Nazlan Muhammad Ghazali.
First, we discuss the allegations against him and what mechanisms there are to deal with ethics when it comes to our judiciary. Then, we look at the importance of having a judicial system that is independent and trustworthy.
So tell us, what do you make of this situation? Are you following the case? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at PFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and let's start at the beginning. The Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission, that is MACC, has reportedly launched an investigation against Court of Appeals Judge Dato' Muhammad Nazlan Muhammad Ghazali. If that name sounds familiar, it's because he was the judge who convicted former Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib Razak over the misappropriation of 42 million ringgit of SRC international funds. And basically, Tan Sri Azam Baki, Chief Commissioner of MACC, said that an investigation paper had been opened after reports were lodged.
So if you're wondering what those accusations were, they come from an article written by Raja Petra Kamarudin on Malaysia Today, claiming that the judge isn't being investigated for an unexplained 1 million ringgit in his account. He alleged that the money came in while he was Maybank's group general counsel and company secretary. Now, the judge then later lodged a police report against Raja Petra Kamarudin, saying that the accusations were baseless and aimed at tainting his credibility. And now, the Office of the Chief Registrar of the Federal Court of Malaysia has said that the investigations could be carried out under Section 500 of the Penal Code and Section 233 of the Communications and Multimedia Act, among other provisions. But where it gets tricky is that the judiciary actually has its own mechanisms to investigate claims like these, which are meant to ensure judicial independence. And that's what's gotten a lot of people sort of reacting to all of this.
So the Malaysian Bar, for example, has said that this investigation is unconstitutional, violates the doctrine of separation of power, undermines the independence of the courts. Also said there is an existing mechanism within the federal constitution to deal with alleged ethical breaches by judges. That's Article 125. And it outlines provisions for a code of ethics for judges at the High Court, Court of Appeal and Federal Court, and for actions to be taken when that code is breached, which includes a referral to a tribunal of at least five persons, including the top four judges of the country. So that, as you said, is a bit of a tricky thing, right, in terms of whether or not, well, I mean, why then isn't the investigation being led or conducted in this particular way? And because the MACC, especially recently, have been no stranger to controversy, this whole case has not gone unremarked on. Opposition leader Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim said that, you know, reiterated in some ways that the investigation goes against the principle of separation of powers, is a form of political interference. Meanwhile, DAP chairperson Lim Guan Eng said that MACC has failed to open an investigation paper into its own chief commissioner over a proxy stock trading scandal. So, you know, there is all this stuff swirling around this case, or rather around this investigation. So we're going to start our show by trying to understand, I think, in more detail, what's actually happening and what the ramifications are of all this. And joining us to do that will be Datuk Malik Imtiaz, constitutional lawyer. We'd like to hear from you. What do you make of the situation? Are you following this case? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:13 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila, and we're talking today about the MACC investigation of Court of Appeals Judge Dato' Muhammad Nazlan Muhammad Ghazali. We'd like to hear from you. What do you make of the situation? It's rather complex. Are you following this case? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to kind of unpack all this is constitutional lawyer Dato' Malik Imtiaz. Malik, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Sure.
So, as we mentioned, the MACC is investigating a Court of Appeal judge, Datuk Mohamed Nazlan, over allegations of unexplained money in his account. Briefly, could you tell us about the circumstances surrounding this investigation and what it involves?
Right. So, situation is a bit murky. What is publicly known is that a few days ago, a blogger put up a story about how the judge was being investigated for unexplained monies in his account in excess of 1 million, which the blogger said was linked to Joe Low. Now, that was pertinent because Datuk Nazlan, as we all know, was the trial judge in the prosecution of Datuk Sri Najib in the SRC case. And he convicted Datuk Sri Najib. His decision was affirmed by the Court of Appeal and is now pending in the federal court, the final appeal. What was strange was that after that so-called revelation, we had the chief commissioner of the MACC tell the media that there were, in fact, investigations ongoing based on quote-unquote reports that had been lodged. And because those reports had been lodged, the MACC had no choice but to investigate, as that was part of its procedure. So that brings us to where we are today.
What powers does the MACC have to open an investigation paper about this?
Right, so that's a vexed question. As far as I know, the investigation of a sitting judge for a criminal offence is unprecedented in this country. I may be wrong, but from what I gather, it's never been done. And there's a good reason for that. So I suppose the question could be answered in two stages. One, the powers in the MACC legislation do not exempt judges or sitting judges. When I talk about judges, I mean judges of the High Court, Court of Appeal, and the Federal Court. These are Superior Court judges, and they have what we call security of tenure under the Federal Constitution. And I'll come back to that. So, ex facie, there's nothing to stop the MACC from doing it. But I think when you look at the law in context, especially when you look at the constitutional functions of the superior courts and their judges, the situation is very, very different. So I think to best understand that, we have to appreciate that any democratic institution, an organ of state in a democracy, is only as effective as the extent of public confidence in it. And so public confidence is an essential, aspect or element of the judicial function. And it is something that the judiciary guards jealously, which is why you won't find judges getting into open spats in newspapers or in radio shows, etc., because there is a certain mystique or sacrosanct aspect to the judiciary that is essential to its functioning. Now, for that reason, obviously, one can't have anything happen to undermine public confidence, to give the impression that the judiciary is less than what it should be. And that's why we hear cases of contempt. The contempt powers are designed or aimed to preserve the integrity of the judiciary, at least in public perception. All right. So that's why public confidence is so important. Now, underlying that is obviously independence of the judiciary. Because if it's perceived that the judiciary is not independent or is aligned or pressured or otherwise made to side with one party or the other, then obviously that constitutional function is undermined. And that brings us to the third concept, which is the separation of powers. And so what you can't have is a judiciary that is perceived to be under the control of some form or the other of the executive. And enforcement agencies like the MACC and the police, and even the Attorney General, are all seen as agencies of the executive. And so it's for that reason that all over the common law world, as far as I'm aware, when there are allegations of judicial misconduct, and this I think is an allegation of judicial misconduct because the link to a sitting, to a decided case is made by the assertion that Joe Low paid the money, and there is a pending appeal. So I would think it's a judicial misconduct. Where there are such allegations, then usually judiciaries and governments put in place procedures to address those complaints in a way that won't impact the public confidence. An investigation like the one that's currently being carried out and the way in which it's been broadcast or publicized in the media space only goes to show why it shouldn't be that way, because already you have this, you know, this discussion about was he corrupt, was he not corrupt? All of that can't be any good for a sitting judge or the judiciary, bearing in mind that he's still sitting in cases every day. And what more, this is a judiciary that sits in cases in which the MECC plays a role in either prosecuting or otherwise. So it's for that reason that I would say, sorry, a long way to get there, but I would say that while ex facie the power is there, I don't think that power can be used to investigate a sitting judge.
You referenced separation of power earlier, and the Malaysian Bar President Karen Chia did say that the MECC investigation violates that doctrine and is unconstitutional. I was hoping you could expand on that point.
Sure. So I agree with that view. As I said, it's unprecedented. It's a vexed question. There's no decision of the Malaysian courts on it. But I think from general principles of constitutional law and separation of powers and everything that I've said, and our federal court has now recognized that independence of the judiciary and the separation of powers are basic features of our constitution. And that's a very important point. So I do think that when you have an investigation of this nature, it is in violation of the separation of powers. And the effect of it is that it will have an undermining of judicial independence, at least in perception, if not in fact. And, you know, perception plays a huge role in the functioning of the judiciary, which is why we always say justice must be seen to be done, it must be seen to be done. So perception is very, very big. So I would think, yes, it is a violation of the separation of powers. Now, this is not to say that sitting judges can never be charged with crimes or investigate for crimes. There's just a process by which you get to that end. And what I was about to say is that in seeking to protect and nurture that public confidence, our constitution as well as Parliament has put in place a methodology by which complaints can be addressed. So it simply starts with the Chief Justice being made aware of a breach of the Code of Ethics, the 2009 Code of Ethics. And then corruption would, in fact, be a breach of that code. There's no question about its impropriety. What would then happen is if the complaint is such that if proven warrants removal of that judge, then a recommendation is made for a tribunal to be established to remove that judge. And then that judge is given the right of due process in the tribunal hearing. But it's serious enough to warrant a tribunal. And we've only ever seen one happen in our history, that with Saleh Abbas, the late Saleh Abbas, right? Now, in the event the judge is removed, what can then happen is the judge can be prosecuted. So that's not to say that the judge is immune from prosecution. He's not. It's just that this method would mean that the sanctity of the judiciary is not impacted. Because while the tribunal is pending, the king, the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, can suspend that judge. He has the power to do that. However, if the complaint is not warranting a removal, then it is referred into the second pathway, which is to the Judicial Ethics, the Judges Ethics Committee. And we last saw that committee in action with the Court of Appeal judge. Escapes me now. So there was this sitting of the Court of the committee quite recently. So that was the first time we've seen it in the public space, or at least heard of it being in action. So I think what should have happened here was that if the MACC felt there was something warranting further steps, then the Chief Justice should have been alerted to it and then the process take its course. Unfortunately, that's not happened.
So on that note about the MACC, we have a message from a listener. So Sue Ng is asking, I wonder, does it only take the lodging of any kind of report for the MACC to open an investigation? I thought they would have higher standards, unlike a police report on which the police have to act regardless of how frivolous the matter is. Don't the MACC open investigations based on actual data, like, for instance, the AG's annual report?
I would think so. And I would think that in any enforcement agency, there'll be some sort of standard operating procedure to ensure that there's something there to investigate in the first place. But as I said, I can't really say much because we don't know what those reports say. All we know is what the blogger said. We don't know what it is the reports themselves say. But yeah, I don't think it's necessarily the case that all reports must necessarily lead to investigations. And where sitting judges are concerned, you then have that huge obstacle put in place by the Constitution itself.
So, you know, our conversation has also circled this idea of reputation, reputational damage, what that means in a larger sense. And there have also been online attacks separately against Datuk Nazlan's reputation following the conviction of Datuk Sri Najib Razak in the SRC case. Overall, how have we seen the online space shape the conversations around members of the legal and judicial fraternity, especially in high-profile cases?
Yeah, so, I mean, the fact of it is we do have a vibrant social media in Malaysia. It's a little bit uninformed and a bit, I think, in its infancy because, you know, for so long we've not been able to speak publicly or openly. We're still learning how to do that. So I think when you look at these kinds of discussions, there are two types, or maybe more, but I can see two. One is by so-called reputable opinion leaders. I say so-called, you know, because that needs to be unpacked a lot, but people who are perceived as having opinions that carry some weight. And then you have the general discourse. Now, general discourse, there's no issue. I think every public interest matter deserves discussion. That's why we have the freedom of expression. It's the other category that's a bit more problematic because there's a tendency to just circulate these things, either for salacious or sensationalist purpose. And then when that conversation starts and grows, it will have the unfortunate effect of derailing very, very important things or casting or creating impressions. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the contempt jurisdiction of the court, especially when it comes to media. But that is the rationale the federal court has expressed in its decision in the Malaysia Kini case, when it said that, look, we have to be wary and we have to be able to protect this essential thing, this public confidence aspect, and we can't be letting people run down the judiciary or attack it in such a way that it will have the effect of undermining it. So I think the answer would be yes, it has had some bearing. I don't think it matters very much what happens in court, but I think it informing public opinion about these public interest sort of things, I think it carries considerable weight. And that's a good and a bad thing.
Malik, what would you like to leave us with?
Well, if at all, I think it is that I think we should all be very, very aware of what an important role the judiciary plays in our society. It is the ultimate organ of check and balance of the state. And as we've seen over the last 2 to 3 years, we've seen some very, very important constitutional decisions being made. We've seen some very, very important decisions in criminal cases being handed down. There are some cases still pending, and what I wouldn't want is this having some sort of dampening or chilling effect on that progress that we're seeing. And I say that, of course, with all respect to all concerned.
Malik, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Bye.
That was constitutional lawyer Datuk Malik Imtiaz helping us understand the situation surrounding the MACC's investigation of Court of Appeal Judge Datuk Muhammad Nazlan. We'd like to hear from you. What do you make of this whole situation? And are you following this case? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio after the 6:30 news today. We will be focusing on an aspect that was touched on actually in our conversation there, which is the importance of having a judicial system that is independent and trustworthy. I mean, we had, you know, a number of points brought up there about the importance of perception and the like. So we wanted to dive into that in a bit more detail. So that will be coming up after the 6:30 news. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:37 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. And we are talking today about the MACC investigation that has been reportedly launched against Court of Appeal Judge Datuk Muhammad Nazlan Muhammad Ghazali. You may remember him as the judge who convicted former Prime Minister Datuk Sri Najib Razak in the SRC International case. And the allegations are over unexplained money in his account. So we've been asking you, what do you make of the situation and are you following this case? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. And we have some messages.
So let's start with this one from Ro, who says, while the separation of powers is vital, so too is the rule of law. And between the two, the latter ought to take precedence.
Interesting. I mean, I think that philosophically, that's one way to draw a distinction. I don't think I know enough necessarily to land on one side of the argument or the next. But I think then in looking at how the rule of law could be carried out, as we heard earlier from our guest, Datuk Malik Imtiaz, this investigation is one way. There are, however, other pathways to investigate judges when they violate or are perceived to have violated or are alleged to have violated codes of ethics.
Yeah, because I don't think, at least on my part, I don't think what we're saying is there shouldn't be an investigation. What I'm saying, or rather to me, I feel like there are clear processes in place for these things. And we should understand why certain actions are being made in a particular way.
Meanwhile, we have Siew Ng, who asked a question earlier and is back to say, listening to Malik Imtiaz, I wonder if the judiciary has recovered from having its independence trampled on in from previous situations. I've sat in court cases in solidarity with activists being charged for exercising their basic freedoms, assembly, speech. I've seen judgments that don't appear to take into account the arguments because they were announced without rationale, though I must say there have been judgments defending basic freedoms as well. So I think a little bit of a push and pull in terms of the perception surrounding the judiciary there.
Yeah, and you know, so much of it, every time this issue comes up, people point back to that particular era, right, as the time when the nation sort of had its faith in the judiciary questioned. And I always find that an interesting reference point.
So on that note about the independence of the judiciary and the importance of the perception surrounding that, that's what the second part of our show is now going to be dedicated to. Keep those thoughts coming, though. Are you following this case? And the situation in question is that the MACC has reportedly launched an investigation against Court of Appeal Judge Datuk Muhammad Nazlan Muhammad Ghazali over alleged unexplained funds in his account. And if you have thoughts, you can share them with us. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to talk about this, our second constitutional lawyer of the hour, Niu Sin Yu. Sin Yu, thanks for speaking with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what do you make of this investigation overall?
Well, you have heard from many parties that the investigation by MACC can be seen as an interference with the judiciary, and that goes against the doctrine of separation of powers. And I agree with these observations. The Federal Constitution, Article 125, it provides for a specific procedure in which complaints against judicial misconduct are dealt with, and that must be followed. And I think that this must first be done before MACC decides to launch any investigation against Justice Nazlan. And I do think that the circumstances in which the investigations by MACC could clearly be seen as an interference by the executive into the affairs of the judiciary. So it's very disconcerting that the procedure which was laid out by the Federal Constitution was not followed. And MACC had came out publicly, which again, you know, quite apart from them launching an investigation, but coming out to say that they are launching an investigation against Justice Nazlan, that too, I thought it was bad, and it's, you can say that it's an interference, and it's not as though as MACC did not have any choice and must investigate such allegations. The MACC should only investigate if they have reason to suspect the commission of an offence. And that's clearly provided under Section 29 of the MACC Act. Frivolous reports should be rejected by MACC outright. Otherwise, we would have a situation where any Tom, Dick and Harry could go on the block and claim that some judge are corrupt and then insist that MACC investigate it. So that there needs to be a filtering process. And I thought MACC ought to have known better, considering the historical circumstances, in 1988. And I think we're going to come to that as well as 2007. So yeah, that's my initial view on what I think about this investigation.
So much of the criticism of this is really that it undermines the independence of the courts. And you did allude to this earlier as well. How does that principle of separation of powers factor into all of this?
Well, if the executive is free to investigate Superior Court judges, the judiciary, it will be easy for the government to intimidate sitting judges through enforcement bodies. Judges, I think, need to be protected from frivolous allegations, both in the media as well as in the form of reports to enforcement bodies. And if enforcement bodies, the executive, are free to do what they will with the judiciary, that damages the separation of power between the executive and the judiciary. And that is why the Constitution and the drafters, in their wisdom, provided for one such procedure. It's not as though, like Shamila, you mentioned earlier, you know, it's not as though as people are saying that don't have any investigation, but rather who should be conducting such investigation. And the Constitution had said that let the Chief Justice do it. Let the Chief Justice make the necessary inquiries. And then, if necessary, consult with the Prime Minister or consult with the Attorney General. And I think Datuk Malik earlier pointed out that there is a Judicial Ethics Committee, and that too can be another body which is within the constitutional scheme of things to look into any misconduct.
We're speaking today with constitutional lawyer Newsin Yu about the importance of an independent judiciary, and perhaps also equally important, the perception that the judiciary is in fact independent. We're going to continue our conversation after this, but we'd like to hear from you. We're talking about this because the MACC has launched an investigation against Justice Datuk Muhammad Nazlan Muhammad Ghazali. And are you following the situation? What do you make of it? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:46 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the MACC launching an investigation against Court of Appeal Judge Datuk Muhammad Nazlan Muhammad Ghazali in relation to allegations of unexplained money in his account. We'd like to hear from you. I mean, are you following this case? What do you make of it all? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're continuing our conversation now on the importance of an independent judiciary with constitutional lawyer Newsin Yu. So Sin Yu, what are some past instances where the independence and reputation of the judiciary have come under question?
Well, unfortunately, we have two. The 1988 judicial crisis and the 2007 Wike Lingam scandal on the appointment of Superior Court judges. Well, those two incidents ought to have warned us that interference with the independence of judiciary is not just very damaging to an individual's right to a fair trial, but also to the country's image. When it comes to independence of the judiciary, you need to have an independent judiciary because it is the ultimate dispute resolution organ between individuals, not just between individuals, but as well as between individuals and the state. Now, if that independence is undermined, those who come before the courts will not feel that justice has been served. They will not feel that they have had a fair hearing or a fair trial. And that, in the context of, let's say, a foreign investor deciding to come to Malaysia to invest a substantial amount of money. Before investing such a huge sum of money, they would think that, okay, in the event where my investment is under threat because of certain promises either made by the government or other private individuals, will I have an avenue where I can have my dispute resolved or where I can go before and complain? And if there isn't such an avenue, investors and companies would be deterred from investing in the country because they would feel that their investment would be under threat and there would be no way out. So that's just some very real-life example or real-life implication on why independence of the judiciary is important. Obviously, you know, that's one very crude example. There are countless examples, but that's one I could think of top of my head.
Now, if we look at the notion of essentially the judiciary being able to investigate their own members, one might think of on the surface of it, the issue of closing ranks, right? And that's something that one of our listeners is asking. So Chong Kiat is asking, asking the head of the judiciary to investigate their own judges doesn't seem to be independent and unbiased. What do you make of that?
I think there is a point by that particular listener. And that's why we need to go back to the process in which such investigations are being conducted. Of course, who conducts it is one question, but the process in which the investigations is being conducted is also another important factor. If the process, which has been prescribed under the law, ensures that there would be no bias or that there would be a fair process where you know, the misconduct would be thoroughly investigated, then it wouldn't damage the independence of the judiciary. Of course, you know, there would be also a debate as to whether or not investigations against judges should be made public. I think there should be a public hearing, and we have seen that in the past. But what I would say is this, that the judiciary relies heavily on public confidence. And if the judiciary intends to, wants to maintain, continue to maintain public confidence, they must do what is necessary to maintain such public confidence. And that would include ensuring the investigation process is fair, and the investigation process is unbiased.
On that point then, how do you see this current investigation and recent headlines affecting the way our judiciary is perceived by the public?
Well, obviously, the very fact that we are discussing about it now would seem to suggest that the judiciary's reputation has been called into question. And well, obviously, the fact that you know, there has been an investigation and there has been a public announcement on such investigation will tarnish the judiciary's reputation in the eye of the public. And I thought that the report from a blog and then the MACC's public announcement of the investigation was calculated to damage the public's confidence in the judiciary. And a lot of what have been discussed today by us lawyers and some politicians would not have been apparent to a layperson. The doctrine of separation of powers, the constitutional design to investigate misconduct by the judges, all this would not be known to a layperson. When a layperson reads on the news that MACC is investigating a court of appeal judge, obviously he or she would suspect that there was wrongdoing, and a trial and conviction could be unsafe. And that is why I thought that MACC should not have enabled this attack against the judiciary.
Currently, what provisions are there to safeguard judicial independence in Malaysia? Have they been sufficient?
Well, currently, you have the procedure under Article 125. And as well as the Judicial Ethics Committee. And I think Datuk Malik has to an extent explained what such process would entail. I think any process, you know, could obviously be made better. But I think at this moment, it is sufficient. And I think you don't hear a lot of news or allegations made against Superior Court judges. And I think that is a testament to how the judiciary had conducted its own affairs. And obviously, you know, we could go and talk about whether or not the process could be improved. Like I mentioned earlier, whether there could be a public hearing, whether or not other parties that are interested or stakeholders could be involved, as we have seen in Justice Hamid's case. But I would say that it is sufficient, and it is there for those who have been aggrieved by any allegations of misconduct by the judges to go to. The blog, you know, the reports or the news that has been made in the blog by RPK, one will wonder why going to the blog was the first avenue. You know, it's not as though as there isn't an avenue for judicial misconduct to be investigated. Why can't that person complain to the Chief Justice and then take it from there? The fact that it was not done, I would think, suggests there are some ulterior motive.
So you mentioned earlier that, you know, something like this can feel perhaps a little bit highfalutin, not necessarily something that, you know, affects us, the average Malaysian. But how does something like the independence of the judiciary or the perception of the independence of the judiciary tie into a country's entire democratic process or system?
Well, it's all about check and balance, isn't it? You have this separation of power. You have the executive, legislature, and then the judiciary. And when there has been overreach by the executive or the legislature, the judiciary is there to ensure that the rights of citizens are protected. And being that very, being the very function that they play, it's paramount that those who come before the court have full confidence in the process. If a judiciary is perceived as not independent, like I mentioned earlier, those who come before it will not feel that justice has been served. And if those who have their rights violated by the state come to the court feeling that the judiciary is not independent, is controlled by the executive, you know, they may instead seek other avenues to have their grievances addressed. In some failed states where the masses think that the judiciary is not independent, is under the control of the state, they don't go to the courts. They go to the streets. They, you know, pick up more aggressive avenues to complain. So it's very important for us to have a functioning democracy, that we have an independent judiciary. Otherwise, the democracy would fail if we decide to do, you know, other things that would not be that would not involve any of these three branches of government.
Sinyu, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much.
That was constitutional lawyer Niu Sinyu taking us through basically why it's important to have a judiciary that is not just independent, but perceived to be, which is a theme that we keep returning to throughout our Inside Story this last hour, which has focused on the MACC launching an investigation against Court of Appeals Judge Datuk Muhammad Nazlan Muhammad Ghazali. If you'd like to share your thoughts with us, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.